Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall, where we debate the top five sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall starts now.
Mitchell David Trubisky practiced and says he plans to play. Forget how much he will run. How will his layoff affect the Bears' passing game? Who is Trubisky most likely to develop the chemistry with quickest against this defense?
You know, I think that it's very interesting because I think, if I'm not mistaken, that they are now at full strength with their corners. You know, Aqib Talib gives them something that they haven't had, and the kid from Kansas City is back, Marcus Peters.
Yep.
So that will make them better, right? I mean, they've had some injury issues at the position, and they should be a little bit better at it. Mitch does develop chemistry with a different guy every week, doesn't he? Doesn't it seem like there's someone different every week? So I would imagine that that because Tariq Cohen had the Tariq Cohen game, I'm not sure that he will be the focal point of it. I keep wondering if Trey Burton's ever going to have any kind of impact.
How about that?
Seems like
the decline is real.
Yeah. Seems like he'd be a guy that might fit against a team like this, just looking at what they do defensively. I got to tell you, I'm of the mind that you go to your best players, and I would really work on chemistry with Allen Robinson. Mitch is going to play. Mitch is going to run a little bit, but not nearly as much. I think they have to talk to him about that. I think that, you know, important as it is to get wins and to try to make sure that you secure the division, that's not up for grabs in this particular game. And another week of him not running with Aaron Donald chasing him might be a good idea. So I'm gonna say that Allen Robinson is the guy that he needs to develop the relationship with in this game in particular, because it's going to be good against good. And I don't think the layoff will have a huge effect on Mitch, but I think there will be an effect. And I think part of that effect is he won't be able to run, and it'll cost him a few third down conversions, 2.5.
I don't think he can approach it differently than he has in previous weeks. I understand the injury. I think he's healthy. I don't think they'd be medically cleared to play unless he was healthy. And this is who he is as a quarterback. He creates opportunities for himself in the passing game by using his legs and using his feet. And it's probably not a bad idea to run away from Ndamukong Suh when he's chasing you, and also Aaron Donald. So I think he wants to be on high alert and not play tentatively, but play aggressively, because he's going to have to convert those third and sixes when, you know, they're playing man coverage and everybody is covered. And, oh, look, I can tuck it and run and convert this first down, keep the chains moving. I watched yesterday the limited video that we saw of him throwing the ball, and it occurred to me that he might be a little rusty, because it will be different conditions than he was they were last time when he played 3 weeks ago. I'm most concerned about his chemistry with the coach. You know, the play caller and the quarterback have sort of a symbiosis that they have to achieve, and they have to really look. I'm going all Bernstein on you there. I think that they have to be in sync, and you want that to be in sync with talking to each other and executing what the coach wants. Allen Robinson's a great choice because this is a big time player. You know, as Stacey King would say, he needs to make big time plays, and this is a great stage for him. So that would be the one I would choose. I'd like to see more Trey Burton because he's disappeared, but I'm most interested in just seeing Mitch Trubisky be Mitch Trubisky, because if he is, I think the Bears have a shot.
Yeah, we heard Trubisky talk about playing smart, and I know he's talking to his coaches about that, but it's a little different when you see Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh trying to hunt you down on the field. Is he going to be willing to go down or try and fight for that first down that's just five more yards away instead of stepping out of bounds or trying to slide. That's going to be something to monitor. I think that may be the idea, but I don't know if that's going to be the reality under the lights going against the Rams in his first game back with all the adrenaline flowing. So I think they're talking about it, but I don't know that it's going to end up happening. As far as developing chemistry with a player, you tend to look at Cohen and Robinson first, but if you want to take down the Rams, you're going to need more than Cohen and Robinson. And this Rams defense has allowed the fourth most yards of all teams to the tight end position. Trey Burton scores five touchdowns, first eight games. Where has he been since? He was on the field last week. Chase Daniel just didn't look his way. He had zero targets. A few weeks ago, with Mitch on the field, he had one target against the Vikings. So I think you need to get Trey Burton back involved in this offense, and he's going to be the guy that has a surprise big game.
You know, these are all pretty good shouts. I like Allen Robinson, you know, stepping up and being that number one. Trey Burton definitely needs to get going. He's been pretty non-existent since New England, which was, by God, like 2 months ago at this point. He's kind of been on the milk carton. I've given up on the idea that Jordan Howard is somehow going to integrate himself into this offense at this point. I think, though, that Taylor Gabriel might be the guy to watch for Sunday night. He played more snaps than any other receiver on Sunday against the Giants, so clearly they feel comfortable putting him out there in almost any set. He's a guy that, you know, can break off from the slot and take a lot of short yardage, you know, a lot of with Mitch, you know, coming back, I don't know how much rust there's going to be, but I think with a guy like Gabriel who can get open and, you know, just kind of nibble and chew trying to move the chains around, I think Gabriel will be a guy that, you know, he's not going to break off any huge chunk plays, but I think that he's going to be a nice security blanket for Mitch. So I'm going to be looking for Gabriel, and I don't think there's going to be much rust on Mitch. Like I said, I think, you know, like you guys alluded to, think he could have played versus New York. I think he's going to integrate himself right back into the offense pretty smoothly. Now, as far as the Rams and their offense, you know, that's going to be the real problem there. And that's, you know, something I'm sure you'll talk about today and tomorrow.
Well, here's what I'm hoping. This is a really tough question because of all the cloak and daggerness that goes on up in Lake Forest. What I'm hoping is that Mitch threw a little bit more than we know about. But I don't think that's true. I'm hoping that was true. Mully, to your point, it's the play caller and the quarterback. The play caller, right, he has to trust the quarterback. He has to trust that he's able to make the throws and make all the throws that he wants him to make. So to answer the question the way it's worded, and if I'm understanding it, unfortunately, the most likely person that he's going to have chemistry with is Tariq Cohen. You're going to hope that defensive line is playing super aggressive. And so what do you do to slow down the defensive line? You run screens, right? You run screens, and that's Tariq Cohen's thing. So to answer the question, it's Trubisky to Cohen is the most likely, because I don't know that the play caller is fully on board with his arm, and he needs his arm to get it to Allen Robinson. That's what I would like him to do. I'd like him to be going downfield. And just on a side note, I've already got Aaron Donald's very, very good. Love to have Aaron Donald as a Chicago. But it's Thursday morning at 5:32, 55 seconds mark. I have massive Aaron Donald fatigue. I mean, the amount of Kleenex.
Do you know what? Do you know what you need to do, though? You know what you need to do? Seriously, if you really feel that way, you ought to go take a look at some of the breakdown of his sacks when they come in games, Dustin. You know, when we talk about closers, this guy is the closer.
Oh yeah, he gets the job done. Yes, he gets.
And there are there like they don't. You know, they've never allowed a touchdown on a series where he's had a sack in it. He gets not just sacks.
He's a total disruptor. I just can't take anymore.
I understand why you feel that way, but he's the defensive player of the year.
Leads the league in fourth quarter sacks.
He leads the league in
fourth quarter sacks. He's an interior guy, right?
I mean, you know, look at his sacks in close games. I mean, he's just the guy. You should love that guy. He is an absolute baller.
This segment brought to you by Spot Hero. And finally, here's a way you can save time parking. Use Spot Hero anytime you park. First-time users can enter promo code SMART for $10 off. Spot Hero, park smarter.
This is a very important question.
With all the Pro Bowl caliber players on both sides of the ball, who is the unheralded player most likely to affect the outcome or change the game?
You just know it's going to go that way, right? I mean, with all this marquee, let's flex at the prime time, look at this, Jared Goff and Mitch Trubisky, all of these guys are the headliners. Somebody who is, you know, a key contributor but maybe a second-tier type of contributor is going to change the game. And for the Rams, it could be Robert Woods. I know that the second leading receiver with 64 catches, 970 yards doesn't sound like a guy would be overlooked, but he's often overlooked in that offense. You don't hear a lot about him, but he's very dangerous. He's the kind of guy that as you pay attention to Brandon Cooks, as you try to worry about Todd Gurley, Robert Woods could be a difference maker. And I think from the Bears standpoint, you look at that defense of all the headliners and all the Pro Bowl deserving guys. Again, going back to Bryce Callahan, your 12th starter. He's a guy that can change a game with the blitz. Maybe he causes a fumble. Maybe he gets a pick. He's also going to be a key guy to watch in terms of how they match up, who they run in the slot, how he is able to defend that guy. So I like the way this is going to be a game I think is going to hinge on each team's respective passing game. And I think that if the Bears can find a way to have Callahan come forward and emerge as a difference maker, then they could give them an advantage. By the same token, Robert Woods is a guy not to sleep on.
Yeah, you know, I think the problem with coming up with an unheralded player is that everybody on the Bears defense seems to have been heralded, right? I mean, who is considered unheralded? It's very difficult. Bryce Callahan, we have talked about as a key figure, as this great nickel back. I hear what you're saying. It's not, you know, is Kyle Fuller unheralded? Is Prince Amukamara unheralded? These guys are paid a lot of money, and I guess Bryce isn't paid yet, although we're talking about maybe even using a franchise tag. We've thrown that idea around as we've talked about it. You know, I obviously the safeties, I can't find the level of the defense where we're not spouting out about a guy,
Let's
right?
ask Sean McVay. Maybe he knows every single starter on the Bears.
You know what? Okay, for that reason, I'll go with Goldman because that's the one guy that Sean McVay didn't mention. So he's peeved that he's not known, and he'll be the big standout guy in the middle of the Bears defense.
Great
How about
answer.
That?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had the same issue, Molly. I was thinking of players on the Bears defense. Like, well, I can't mention Kyle Fuller. He has six interceptions.
Exactly.
He's one of the NFL leaders, even though he's having a wonderful season. So I tend to look at Bryce Callahan for this. But what it comes down to me, I'm looking at the secondary because it's about turnovers. You want to win this game, you're going to need to win the turnover battle. Bears number one in the NFL, 21 picks, number one in turnover ratio, plus 12. Talked about stealing possessions from this Rams offense by running the ball. You also need to steal the football away. So I'm looking at the secondary, and Callahan's a good pick for this.
Oh, man, so many players to choose from, but which ones are unheralded, like you guys said? I mean, there's a lot of herald to many of these guys, and especially Dustin's guy, Aaron Donald. I love that you have Aaron Donald fatigue all of a sudden when he's been like the best football player on the planet. But yeah, I'm going to go.
I'm just done hearing about him nonstop.
Dustin, well, you're going to hear about him a lot Sunday
Dustin
night, man.
Dustin sounded like Akeem Hicks talking about Khalil Mack.
That's how other cities feel when they're playing the Bears about Khalil Mack.
Yeah.
Huh? Is this Rhodes?
There's a reason that you know Mac and Donald are held up to that standard. I'm gonna actually just repeat my first answer here. I'm gonna say Taylor Gabriel again. I think that he's going to be very important in this game on Sunday, and for all the reasons I said earlier, you know, short yardages and quick slants and the things that he does, and the fact that he plays more often than any other player not named the quarterback. So, you know, two for two here on Team Taylor Gabriel.
Oh, boy, this is, boy. All the Pro Bowl caliber players, both sides of the ball. Who is the unheralded player most to affect the outcome or change the game? Can it be in a negative way?
Sure.
We'll go back to Aaron
Leonard
Donald.
Floyd.
Okay, we're going to go back. Well, Leonard, I don't even speak of 94.
He's unheralded.
He's unheralded, all right. He's always hurt, track athlete, trying to play football. He'd fit in David's Letterman jacket, too. He's supposed to be a professional football player. You know, the Bears' interior offensive line could be the unheralded member to let the game go in the wrong direction when they're not able to block those two monsters that the Rams have on the inside.
I think it's hard to answer those questions.
How should the Cubs respond to the Cardinals trading for all-star first baseman Paul Goldschmidt, a notorious Cub killer? Does this make them any more likely to take a bolder approach to the offseason? And how would you rank the first baseman in the National League Central?
Oh boy, how about that? There's a lot here. I don't think the Cubs need to respond. I think the Cardinals are responding to the Cubs, and they're trying to play catch-up. I think the Cubs, you know, as much as we want them to go out and sign everybody, they did dip into next year's money by going ahead and getting some of the moves they made last year, especially with Yu Darvish. So they need guys that they signed to be better than they've been. And again, you know, part of the problem they have is Darvish and Hayward and, you know, investing in guys that aren't worth the money that you're spending on it. It's as simple as that. And what, $12.5 million for Dustin's guy next year, the Walker. I just think that, you know, Paul Goldschmidt's a great player. He's a six-time All-Star. He's really good. He's like Joey Votto good, right? So I think Votto might be the best first baseman in that division, and then I'll go Goldschmidt, and then I'll go Rizzo. What?
Tony Rizzo third?
Well, there's a really good... Did Tony Rizzo make the All-Star team that I missed?
There's a lot of good first basemen in this
really
division.
Good, yep. There's some really good power lefties, right?
That's why it's an interesting question.
I understand, but why are you jumping on me about...
I'm not jumping.
Joey Votto is like a Hall of Famer.
Yes.
I mean, he's head and shoulders.
I know. Okay. He's a different level player. I think Goldschmidt really good. You'll get your turn.
We all get a turn, right?
Yeah. Okay, everybody gets a turn.
And who am I missing? Josh Bell? And and who else am I missing?
Jesus Aguilar.
And Aguilar.
35 bombs last year.
Yeah, okay. I'll go Aguilar. Yeah, I mean, I'll go Aguilar after Rizzo, and then I'll throw in Josh Bell.
I
like Josh Bell. He's just, you know, he's very
nothing against Josh Bell.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah,
I don't know how the Cubs respond to this, but I have a hard time seeing them standing pat and reinvesting faith in the core and all these things that we have heard. I mean, this just seems like such a weird off season for the Cubs, and this just makes it a little bit odder. The Cardinals went out and made a bold move. This is a good move for them. This changes their season. I know they still lack pitching depth and all these things that make them suspect in St. Louis, and you know, you don't know how legitimate of a contender they will be, but I would expect them to be a pretty legitimate contender. This is a really good move for them, and I don't know if the Cubs will respond, but I think everybody's waiting. I don't know how this affects the pursuit of Bryce Harper, if it does at all. In St. Louis, that's the debate in St. Louis talk radio today is, hey, there's still money for Bryce Harper. Hey, there's still room. This doesn't change anything. I think that's an interesting discussion. But my sense is probably the Cubs stick to their guns, and they maybe are up to something. It's very quiet on the north side. I'm looking forward to next week, the meetings in Las Vegas, to see if they are more active and things start to percolate a little bit. As far as ranking them, the first baseman in the division, as much as I expressed a little surprise at your rankings, 1, 2, and 3, I am with you. I'm with you. It's just surprising to look at Anthony Rizzo and all that he means to the Cubs and still realize that he's the third best first baseman in your division.
He's a really good fielder, and he's a really good player. He's like a career 270 hitter. Joey Votto is, what, over 300 for sure? 310, something like that?
I'd go Votto, Goldschmidt, Rizzo.
Yeah, that's what I did, and you stopped me.
I know, and then I stopped myself, so shame on me.
Dustin is stewing over here, just champing at the bit for his shot here.
All right, Paul Goldschmidt isn't just a Cubs killer. He's an everyone killer. Since 2013, he's second in the National League in hits, home runs, RBIs, runs, walks, extra base hits. As far as the Cubs go and the Cubs responding, I think they'll add. They need to add something. But Dan O'Dowd hit it with you guys. He nailed it yesterday. They need to fix what they have. If their players play to the best of their capability, talk about a healthy Chris Bryant, getting that rotation healthy and right, they're the most talented team. They're more talented than the Cardinals right now with Paul Goldschmidt. So that's really what it's all about, and that's why you see the coaching changes, because the Cubs know that. They know that. They need to fix something there, that they have the talent there. They just need to get these guys right back to where they were. Now, as far as ranking the first baseman in this division, it kind of reminds me, oh yeah, this is why Jose Abreu really doesn't have much value. Guy has 1 year left on his contract. Look how many great first basemen there are. in the Central? I agree with you guys. Votto 1, Goldschmidt 2, Rizzo 3. I'll go Aguilar and then Josh Bell 5th.
My rankings are the exact same. I think it's hard to put it any other way. I mean, like I said, Joey Votto is a Hall of Fame caliber talent. The fact that he plays for the crappy Reds, you know, I don't hold that against him at all. He does his thing year in, year out. Goldschmidt is a guy who Cub fans might only see a few times a year, but as consistent as anybody in baseball, regardless of position, he's an absolute monster. He's number two. And Rizzo, no shame in being third. I mean,
not in that
Rizzo's
group.
Rizzo's an all-star caliber player,
and that's
too.
That's not being a Cubs hater. No. Everybody's going crazy
already
here.
With the text line, of course.
Knock it off. I mean, yeah. Just look. Take a minute and take a
look. That's how Cub fans are. You know,
you'll
everything has
year.
To be the best. They have to have the future MVP, and they have to have the best first baseman, and they have to have the best manager. It's just, it's so tiresome. It's such an aggravating fan base. You know, this guy to my left, not aside, I don't think this affects the Cubs per se in what they have to do. You know, they shouldn't look at any other team and have that dictate their plan. They have a plan in place. This doesn't affect what Theo wants to do. He already knows what he wants to do. What he can do with the financial restrictions that are apparently put upon him, he's not looking at St. Louis. I'm sure in the back of his mind, he's like, okay, well, that's another good hitter in their lineup. But he's already got what he wants to do set out.
I believe the Mercedes commercial goes, the best or nothing. You know,
if I interrupt you right now, will you stop talking?
Probably.
I'm just curious because I know you want to get
a turn, even though you've weighed in on everybody's turn,
but you,
your own turn.
You love
and then told everybody else to
Anthony
stop talking
Rizzo.
During your turn.
Okay, go ahead.
So what are we doing? Is this the eye test? Is this the anti-Cub thing? So Kevin, who craps all over the Cubs because they get to play the Reds 19 times, now wants to rank Joey Votto, who is the best player on the Reds, but that means nothing because they do nothing with him. I mean, if I wanted a guy to hit the ball, if I wanted a guy to get a hit in a game.
It's the idea.
Is that the only idea? I mean,
okay.
There's a different way to rank them. Overall, if you were looking for one overall complete player, unfortunately, I have to say now, because he has now joined the division, that it is Paul Goldschmidt, because he can hit for average, he can hit for power, and he can play some deep. Joey Votto doesn't play any defense, okay? It's Goldschmidt. It's Goldschmidt, followed by Rizzo, followed by Votto, and the Pirates and the Brewers aren't even on my radar.
Aguilar had a great season for Milwaukee.
Oh,
you know,
the
Central Division champion Milwaukee Brewers, in case you forgot.
Never heard of them.
Kevin,
let's see all the smoke and mirrors north of the cheddar curtain working next year. Let's see if all that BS pitching stuff works over the course of a 162.
National League Central Division champion Milwaukee Brewers.
Worry about what's going on to 35th and Shields.
The question that you asked, O'Malley, is a very valid one.
Jim Boylan ran a 2.5-hour practice the day after the game that included running sprints called suicides to improve conditioning. He yells constantly. He says things publicly that could be construed as criticizing his players' talent. How long before the first sign of trouble?
How about, what was it, Tuesday night around 9:30? The look that Zach LaVine gave him, I had to wonder what was going through his head, even though
Please
he said
clap.
All of the things that were right afterward. This is a team that's going to be asked constantly about the new approach, about the new vibe. They're going to get tired of it. And I don't know if they're going to get tired of being asked or questions by reporters or being tired of being asked to do what Jim Boylan is going to ask them to do. And that is to behave like a high school and college team. This is a very different approach with millionaires. And as young as the Bulls are, you've got to remember they're millionaires. They're professional athletes. Professional athletes aren't used to running suicides. They're not really keen on 2.5-hour practices either. How long will this continue? Look, the Bulls got away from this idea of push, push, push when Tom Thibodeau was here. That was the grinded out mentality. That was the do your job. Well, you know what? Jim Boylan is doing his job. And I don't want to criticize him for his approach to his job before he's even won an NBA game. But I think there's going to have to be some give and take on both sides. There's going to have to be some compromise. And this all-out, grinded-out mentality looks good, sounds good. I don't know how realistic it is, and I think both sides are going to have to adjust at some point.
Anybody remember when Mike Keenan came to Chicago? And, I mean, this is obviously Mike Keenan was much more accomplished coach than Jim Boylan at that point. But he came in, and he was skating the hell out of them. And I believe it was Dennis Savard that started to walk off the walk off the ice. Just couldn't handle the way he was being pushed because it was crazy. And somebody went and stopped him, and they talked about it. Look, the problem with this approach is only a problem if you have superstar players. And I'm not talking about guys who think they're superstar players. So, you know, you mentioned Zach LaVine. So you believe he's going to be the guy that's going to be the one to stop it? Is it a Jabari Parker that's going to be upset with it? Here's the fact of the matter. The guy is right. They're out of shape. They're out of condition. So now you're running a preseason training camp in the midst of your season because you have inherited a team that was never pushed. So good. Push them. You know, they got a lot of guys that are on the edge of being in or out of the NBA. And if some G Leaguer wants to argue with you or yell at you, guess what? You go back to the G League. He's got to worry about three or four guys and keeping them happy. And he can go to them individually and sell them on the idea that pushing everyone, he needs them to be a part of it. He needs them to be a leader here. There's ways of being a little clever about how you do it. I don't know Jim Boylan well enough to know if he's going to do it that way. But I think that none of these guys, hey, you know, look at the standings. Start running. I don't care how much money you make. So I like what he did, and I think maybe they'll get in shape for a change.
This really explains the timing that everything went down. You have a game, and we have a couple days of practice. You're staying home before the home game on Friday. He's going to lose his team. And the funny thing is that this is what they want, right? This is why you make this much of a change. You go 180, even though the guy was already on the coaching staff. You think he hasn't talked to John Paxson about how they're going to run practices and how they're going to do things? I would bet this is exactly what Paxson was looking for.
And they've seen it work with Tibbs.
That's a very good point, Joe. He's not doing this without the front office's blessing. This is no shock to them.
So they have a back-to-back on Friday and Saturday. Then they have another game on Monday. Are they going to practice Sunday?
2.5 hours, baby.
If they do, he might lose this team real quick. I mean, really, what do you care about? You care about a few players. As Molly mentioned, the roster's on the players on the fringe of the roster. I mean, who really cares? But it's not a style that you see anymore. And with a group of young players that probably hasn't dealt with this in their entire life, it's going to be interesting to see how they respond.
Dustin's got Aaron Donald fatigue. I've got Jim Boylan fatigue already. I can't stand this bloody guy yelling and just, you can hear him all throughout the games. One game, one practice. This guy, this fake, you know, AAU head coach trying to push these guys. And I mean, you know, this off-brand Tom Thibodeau wannabe bald. Get this guy out of here. I'm done. I'm done with him already.
See? It's actually the anti-AAU crowd. I think the AAU crowd is more pat him on the back and here's a device.
You're right here, fifth grade pity ball. Then
okay, of course I love it. I love this kind of stuff. I've been calling at least two. Mully can correct me. 3 years. And what have I want? Who have I want? Mully, who have I wanted to coach Chicago Bulls?
John Paxson.
Okay, and that, guess what? You know who's coaching the Chicago Bulls right now? John Paxson. Okay, this is John Paxson's hand. This is exactly what John Paxson would do if John Paxson were coaching the Chicago Bulls. Okay, so let's see how it works. This is it. Okay, I believe John Paxson wants to do a good job. I think John Paxson can do a good job, but this is it. I don't think John Paxson gets another. Gar's just a scout at this point to me. Okay, this is it. So now we're going to find out, does this work? And if not, this is the end of it.
What kind of question is that?
The Chicago Wolves roster boasts players who have won 20 international medals. Give the gift of a Chicago Wolves holiday pack. Each pack includes tickets to the game of your choice, merchandise, food, and free parking. Visit ChicagoWolves.com. Jason Lockenfora of CBS Sports was the latest reporter outside Chicago to either link or promote Northwestern coach Pat Fitzgerald as a coaching candidate for the Packers that they should interview. Is there any fire to this smoke, and should Fitz take a look? Can you imagine it?
You know, I think that there's pros and cons with Fitz. I think that, you know, if I'm the Jets, if I'm Green Bay, I can understand why you'd want him, because he has won with less talented teams than his opponents. And he has done that consistently while at Northwestern. I think that the cons would be that, you know, Fitz has been at Northwestern for a very long time. He was a player there. He was an assistant there. And he's been the head coach there for a very long time. And it's been a remarkable journey for him. But you could argue that he knows Northwestern culture and the type of players that he recruits and the type of players that he's brought in, and hasn't had to deal with sort of the crazy ego, weird dynamic that some teams unfortunately are saddled with, right? And some team builders don't mind going out and acquiring because they are always looking at talent, not at other elements of the game. But I think Fitz has done an unbelievable job. I think that that he is, you know, a really talented coach. I believe, you know, there's 17 guys, that was the last I read, that started as assistants under him or started as guys that worked for him that are now all over college football. You know, he's held on to his staff, but he's also developed a lot of people. And I think that that's, you know, when you talk about developing talent, we always talk about how you get players better and how you make them improve. And I think he would have ideas on how to do that. And I'd be very curious to see it. And maybe, you know, I don't know that Fitz ever wants to leave. It's a perfect fit for him where he's at. And we say that because he's done a perfect job for where he's at. He's made that program relevant. I shudder to think what would happen to Northwestern if Fitz leaves. So that
much different scenario.
It would be back to, can we get a Gary Barnett? Can we jump up? You know, now you have a long-term guy that likes being there and is proud to be there. You connect him to the school. You think of Fitz when you think of anything. You know, when they made the NCAA tournament, Fitz comes into the locker room. I mean, that's him. He's everywhere.
He is Northwestern.
Yes.
I'd be surprised if they have to replace him. I'd be surprised if he takes an NFL job. That said, look, I'm on record. I've said this before. You know, if my son were a college football player, he's the one coach in America it would be at the top of my list I would want him to play for. Not just because he's going to what happens on Saturdays, but because what happens from Sunday through the next Saturday. What
I would,
all
I would go
long.
To his dad and make my kid go to Alabama because for greatness, the Bible in the belt. Buddy.
He is college football. He's everything what college football should be. Okay. That said, I think that the discussion, the previous question about Jim Boylan and his approach with NBA players, I would have the same questions about Pat Fitzgerald and NFL players. I don't know if that would fly in an NFL locker room. And by that, I mean, it's a very enthusiastic guy. He's a very much a rah-rah guy. He's a very much a team builder, a consensus builder. There's a lot of individuals in NFL locker rooms. We both have been there. It's professional sports. Could he make that transition? Probably. Probably. It might not be as seamless as some people think. I think he'll be given the opportunity if he wanted the opportunity. He's still a young man. He's still a young coach. I don't know that it'll be this offseason, but I think if it doesn't happen this offseason, it won't be because he won't be offered the chance to do that.
Yeah, there's a little fire here because of the obvious connections with Mark Murphy, and he's going to be the guy making the hire, and we're talking about a copycat league. So I think it's risky. Just from the Packers' point of view, you have Aaron Rodgers. You're not sure how many years. You can't waste any more years with him. So what do we do to fix the offense? Because you look at the very top of the league, who are the true Super Bowl contenders right now? They have great offenses. So that's where the league is at right now with Kansas City and the Rams and the Saints and the Patriots. And the Chargers have a pretty good defense, but they can put up points as much as anybody out there. So I think they're going to end up going the offensive route, but you have to take a look at Fitz, and Fitz should take a look at the NFL. You don't just shut down your options, especially when it's the National Football League. You take a listen, think it through, talk about it with your family, but I think there's something here. Can I imagine it? No, I don't see it. I honestly think he's a Northwestern lifer.
No NFL team is hiring Pat Fitzgerald, okay? That's just never going to happen. I can't imagine it. It wouldn't work. It wouldn't be good at
man.
It. I'm so, you know, I'll eat my hat if Pat Fitzgerald goes to the NFL. I'll dye my hair purple and whatever other color the Cats have in their logo.
Would you shave your head with a straight blade if he was named head coach of the Green Bay Packers?
No, I wouldn't do that. That's
wanted
crazy.
To see how far I could get
like
you.
Jim Boylan.
Okay. Yeah, would you Jim Boylan it? I mean, listen, I'm with David. If I had a son, I would like my son to play football for Pat Fitzgerald, believe it or not. There's some stories that one day over a beer anywhere, I'd like to clear up with Pat Fitzgerald. Some stories I've heard that have given me a little Pat Fitzgerald fatigue from time to time, but I do really like the guy. He's fantastic for college football. I don't know that he's cut out for the NFL game, but I think he's worth an interview. But you know what I really want to do right now? I want to call Greg Gabriel. I want to get Greg's take on Jason Lockenfora's report. That's a fun follow. On Twitter.
Yeah.
A fun follow on Twitter is this feud that Greg Gabriel has with Jason Lockenfora reports.
Well, yeah, I imagine that is what we were talking about earlier about Twitter being a place where people go to rant and to rave. Greg likes to rant and to rave on Twitter.
312-644-6767. What do you think? Mitch is coming back. Who does he need to develop some chemistry with to win that game? Which of his receivers should he be forcing the ball to? With all the Pro Bowl caliber players on both sides of the ball, who's the unheralded guy that's most likely to affect the outcome or change the game? How should the Cubs respond to the Paul Goldschmidt acquisition? He, of course, a notorious Cub killer now with the Cardinals. Does this make them any more likely to take a bolder approach? And how do you rank the first baseman in the division? A lot of people think that Anthony Rizzo belongs atop it, and that was not the consensus of this group. Jim Boylan, is he going to be able to do things? How long before the first sign of trouble after his 2.5-hour practice? Jason Lockenfora says that Fitz is being linked with the Packers. Do you think that's a good idea? Should Fitz look at that job? Can you imagine him leaving the Cats? 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Hall on the Score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.